Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sir Mr. Delaney, so what?
Welcome along. It's the latest episode of the Pig Odyssey, arguably the most wide-ranging podcast study, at least, into the history and the doings, and the comings and goings of pigs, and I thought it was episode 5, something like that. Long way to go. Long, long way to go. There's other stuff we could be talking about that's happened in the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
But we're going to refrain from that until Friday.
We're
going to
keep
episode.
Our powder dry until Friday. If you're in the know, and as the kids say, only the real ones know. But if you're a real one, then you'll know that something big's gone down in the Top Flight Time Machine metaverse. Right,
yeah.
And if you're listening to this like for free in 6 months' time, the date is the 13th of June 2022. 9 months' time,
yeah.
13th of June 2023. Sorry, it's 2023, and it'll forever be remembered. There may well be a memorial built to this day at some point. I don't know, but find out more on Friday's episode.
Yeah.
Before we get into pigs, just a side note so I don't forget.
Okay.
We've talked a huge amount over the years, if you really think about it, about crows, right? I know crows aren't pigs. They're not very similar. But on my long 6-hour journey from Munich to Prague with my two mates on Tuesday, a week ago, Wednesday, we got to talk. Yeah, we talked. You can imagine the amount of fucking yakking I did on that train journey.
I mean, imagine. Yeah.
You've got to hand it to
power the train itself.
You've got to hand it to them. Neither of them beat me up or tried to lock me in an overhead luggage compartment. But they did comment in, and I think this is true friendship. They commented a great deal on the amount of talking I was capable of doing on a 6-hour train journey.
I'd say, thank God you don't drink.
I know, or do cocaine.
Yeah,
I mean, imagine. I was doing a lot of rabbiting on, but they were too, and we had some interesting chats. And it turns out my mate, like, I didn't know this about him. He's one of my oldest mates, but he's really into crows and the whole family that crows are from. I can't remember they're called.
Right.
The family crows are from.
What are they called?
Anyway.
Again?
They're Corvids. Corvids. Ronnie,
that's
Corvids,
right.
I call them. Right.
Yeah.
Bit like COVID.
Jeremy
coincidence?
Corvids.
I don't know. I mean, did they? Was it them and not the bats? They also include jackdaws. Very often you'll mistake a crow for a jackdaw, won't you? We've all done it. In fact, we did once do a... Didn't we do a history box about the crow in your kid's school?
That's right, the school crow. From Sunderland,
and
but
was,
it turned out it was a jackdaw.
It was a jackdaw, okay, yeah. Also in this family are jays, magpies, that's surprising, isn't it? I didn't...
All right, okay.
And something called choughs, which sounds a little bit like a cross between a cough and a chode. It's spelled C-H-O-U-G-H-S. But also, right. I think, he was telling me about... Anyway, he was going, he goes, I'm really into Corvids now, right? This is a kid I've known since I was like 12. I was gone. He went, yeah. And I'm like, well, COVID. I'm very interested in you being interested in Corvids. And we've got many more hours. So just tell me everything you've got on it.
Right?
I can't tell you how happy I am that this has come up, right. So he filled me in on a huge amount of COVID information. The headline is this. Corvids, particularly crows, are, he claims, and I've got no reason to doubt him, he's always been a reliable source in the past, he's not a bullshitter. Mm. He claims that it's scientific fact that the crow is the second most intelligent creature on Earth after the human. And he said that's fact. He said the wiring of the brain is the most similar. And I said, hang on, chimps? He went, they're much cleverer than chimps. I did chuck pigs at him, and I told him at this juncture, oh, me and my mate Andy are doing a whole podcast about pigs at the moment.
Football podcast.
And he just looked blankly through me, which is what all of my close mates do when I bring up anything to do with the podcast. They just sort of think, is he... Good. They do wonder what I do with my days, but they don't. They just sort of like look strangely and think, oh, he's just probably making it up. It's a weird joke. Yeah.
And I said, it's part of your recovery from...
Yeah, exactly. I think this is probably step 11. Therapy. Step 11. Yeah. Tell your close friends strange things about yourself. Right. And, and he said they're really clever. And he was telling me all this shit, some of which we've discussed before, how they communicate with each other about who the good and bad humans are. Right.
Well, this is it. We've discussed this. Yeah, I think we did tag them as the second most intelligent, did you say?
It after humans. I tell you, after they're definitely humans. More intelligent, man. Because as soon as I got back, I told my kids this. And, you know, kids are like nowadays, they've got the internet, they're fucking know-it-alls. And they immediately, they'll never just accept. Not like in my days, if an old man told you a thing, you'd believe it. In those days, elderly males, of which I count myself one now, they were the internet of their day. You wanted to know something? Go and ask your dad or your granddad or an uncle or some geezer standing outside a pub doing a dance, right? Go up and ask him. Now, you can't tell these kids anything without them poo-pooing it. You know what they've chucked at me, and it gets me angry. You know how angry this gets me, this particular animal, dolphin. Mm. I said, do you know what? Do you know what? I pay the fucking rent round it. I pay the mortgage, right? I pay the fucking bills, right? I cook, I clean, you lot do fuck all, and I don't ask so much, but that's the last time anyone in this fucking house says the word dolphin ever again, because I'm sick of it.
Dolphin chat is banned now.
Everyone knows I hate dolphins, and it's frankly, it's provocative and disrespectful for you to bring them up. Of course dolphins aren't as clever as fucking corvids.
They're far too goody-goody, the dolphins.
Yeah, and then, but I've said before, it's bullshit, all this clever dolphins. It's bullshit. Mm. Humans like to think that they're intelligent because they swim over, and we've been through this before. The reason they come over to you with that smile on their face is because they're going to try and sexually assault you. And no, that's not a joke. Google it. It happens all the time. Dolphins come and try and bum humans all the time.
They try and bum people, yeah.
Right. And that's why they... But humans, because we're all so vain and egocentric, we think, oh... He's coming over to communicate. He must be very intelligent to want to communicate with me. Because what you do is anyone who's attracted to you, we do it with other humans as well, we project positive characteristics onto. Mm. Because if someone shows you attention or finds you attractive, you don't want to say, well, they find me attractive, but they're a fucking idiot. You want to go, they find me attractive. What a shrewd and intelligent person. Same with dolphins. Crows, they don't come over and show you affection easily. They do to my mate because he feeds them every morning bits of meat. Bits of bacon, all sorts. And he showed me videos.
How many has he got that come over?
About four regulars plus a few kind of walk-ins, right?
Has he given them names?
Yes, and they're all crow-based names. So there's like Russell Crow. That's the most obvious one. He's got some really good ones, actually. Right. They all have crow in the title.
Yeah.
So he's got names to them. He showed me videos of him feeding them. I said, right, great. I've seen that. What else you got? And then he said, are you aware that ravens can talk even better than parrots? And I went, fuck. I said, listen, trust me. This is the sort of shit that if it were true, I'd know. And he went, get ready. And then he called up about four videos. And like, mate, if you're feeling low at any point, just type in ravens talking. And it will, I guarantee, it's better than fucking Prozac, right?
I had a really good day, but I'm going to do it now.
Yeah,
ravens can talk. YouTube.
It's wonderful. And it killed about a whole hour of the journey to Prague.
Steve, can you say hello?
Hello.
Fuck.
All sorts of voices.
Listen.
He says, hi.
Hi.
Good job. Sometimes he hears people who have a cold. Good job.
Whoa.
And then they start making cheeky noises as well. I don't know what video you're on, but there's one where he's not talking. He's just being really cheeky. And, you know, they look like quite brutish. No offence to the ravens, but they're not the most attractive looking birds, are they? They're quite scary looking. But they've got so much personality.
They're like the number one goth bird, aren't they?
Yeah, goths love them. Yeah.
You can see why.
Yeah.
Because there's an element of drama to them.
They do, yeah. They've got a macabre way about them. But they're really cheeky. And there's one video of some English woman. She's somewhere like Tap. Apparently they're only in the Tower of London. That's the only place you find them. In the south
off,
of England,
really?
Anyway. Maybe in the north of England they're allowed, but in the south of England, it's just the tower where they hang around. And
Christ.
And there's a woman down there talking, and one comes on her shoulder and he starts doing all this. Ooh, ooh, like fucking Kenneth Williams. And he knows he's being funny. He's doing it on purpose. So
yeah,
I don't want to distract us too much longer from pigs, but suffice to say, when I went away last week, not only did West Ham win the European Cup, which is what it was that we won. I also learned a huge amount about the Corbett family, and I'm just delighted by that. So,
well, there's two things I remember about crows. When we discussed crows before, there's two things about them I remember. One is that they gossip
amongst
themselves.
Yeah,
and the other one is that they hold a grudge.
Yes.
Which is phenomenal.
Well, but not only do they hold a grudge, they do the opposite. So if you do a good turn, they gossip in a positive way. They spread.
Yeah.
They basically do PR for you. They go, like, if you fed one a bit of bacon, they go, you know that Andy Dawson? Yeah.
Mm.
You should go. He's a good guy. You should keep an eye out for him if ever you see him getting any bother. He's a good one. He go round there. He'll always have a bit of bacon or something for you, or like a Cadbury's mini roll, something like that. Something nice.
And if you see him getting hassled, peck the eyes out of the
just attack the eyes of anyone who gives him shit because he's a good guy.
Yeah, nice one.
Pigs then.
That's weird. It's a bit cosmosy because I went up Sainsbury's earlier on.
What did you see?
And I saw in the car park a seagull attempting to pick up a squashed crow from the roof.
I'd find that a bit traumatic.
Yeah. Well, it is. I'm sorry, but that's nature. We've done this before. We've
that's
discussed nature,
nature with
a,
me,
play.
Andy Dawson. Well, hello, welcome
sorry,
to another
that's
episode
nature.
Of... That's sorry, but that's nature. With me, Andy Dawson, and her, Michaela Strachan.
I'm going to tell you something terrible, and at the end, I'm just going to say sorry, but that's nature.
I'm going to show you
did
some
you
pictures.
Did you know that sometimes mother cats can eat the kittens?
Oh, God.
If the kitten dies in childbirth.
I follow an account like that. I think it's on Instagram. I don't know why I do, because it's just so upsetting. And it's called something like Nature is Wild, and it's always...
Oh, I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, it's some fucking mental shit.
That's nature.
Sorry, but that's nature. Thing I just said to you, what did you see? I'm just making a note of that because I might add it to my repertoire of journalistic inquiries alongside
Good.
Tell Me It.
Yeah.
And Lens One, what is your agenda? Right.
What have you recently seen?
Just keep it to what did you see? Someone tells
what
you something.
You
I just went there the other day. What did you see? I've just got back from my holidays in Tenerife. What did you see? Well, the food was quite nice. Well, what did you see?
I saw the sea.
What else did you see? It's a Jeremy Vine style delivery. Why?
Yeah. Why?
Why? What did you see? Why?
Pigs, yeah?
Yeah. We thought we were going to talk
about
the Tamworth 2 this week.
We were about to talk about the Tamworth 2 last time, I think, and we didn't get around to it.
Yeah.
But I'm on the Wikipedia page for the Tamworth 2. In case you're not aware of the Tamworth 2. Because it was January 1998.
Yeah.
We weren't celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Tamworth 2 this year. They were a pair of pigs that escaped while being unloaded from a lorry at an abattoir in the English town of Malmesbury in Wiltshire. Could be Malmesbury. You never know with these quaint old English towns.
Sounds nice, though, doesn't it?
Pronunciation could be anything.
Sounds
could be
nice,
Malmesbury.
Doesn't it? Apart from the abattoir bit, which sounds horrible, but Malmesbury in Wiltshire, I bet that's a nice place.
Might be, don't know. It's got its own Wikipedia page. We could go into it if you want to.
We'll do a separate history box on it later.
Malmesbury, yeah.
Bonus episode, Malmesbury.
The Tamworth too, it's a classic.
It's a classic British story, isn't it?
British story, isn't it? Yeah, it's the underdogs having their day in the sun, or fortnight in the woods, whatever it was, over a week. So the pigs were later named Butch and Sundance, after Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, of course. They were on the run for more than a week, and the search for them caused a huge media sensation, as well as immense public interest, both in Britain and abroad. This is the kind of thing they put on CNN now and again, isn't it?
Over to Britain now, where they've got themselves into a bit of a pickle with a couple of pigs. Over to you, Joe. Thanks, Sandra. Wiltshire in the United Kingdom, and two swines are on the loose.
So is Butch and Sundance. Butch was a sow, Sundance was a boar. Their brother and sister from Tamworth, hence the name Tamworth Two.
Yeah,
they were 5 months old.
Yeah.
And their owner was taking them by lorry to V&G Newman's abattoir in Malmesbury on 8th of January 1998, just after they were unloaded from the truck. The two pigs escaped by squeezing through a fence and swimming across the River Avon. Spectacular.
This was a classic case of two pigs taking one look around at their situation and going, fuck this.
Fuck this. Yeah.
See you later.
This is not how our story ends.
Yeah. As my mum would say, I don't know where she got this from or if it's common, because I haven't heard many other people say it. San Ferian. I don't know what that even means, but that was her way of saying TTFN dickheads. San Ferian.
Never heard that before.
Yeah.
I'd like to think she's just the only one that says that.
Yeah, I'll ask
anywhere
her.
In the world.
I'll ask her.
Jalapeño.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
So the two pigs spent most of their week of freedom in a dense thicket near Tetbury Hill. It was a kind of a prototype Raoul Moat situation, really, I think. They're hiding out in the dense thicket, except they hadn't killed anyone. That makes it a more palatable story, I suppose. The press called them Butch and Sundance after the American Outlaws. So John Pigface, of course, there in his element, I suppose.
Mm.
The American NBC network and several Japanese media outlets were among the international media to show a great interest and to send reporters to cover the tale. And there was 100 journalists on the trail, apparently. And the NBC journalist was called Donatella Lorch. American news name.
Donatella Lorch, CNN in the UK.
Wiltshire.
Back to you, Jack.
She says, these pigs have become celebrities. The British reaction to the whole thing is what has caught our attention. And after all, we are the makers of Babe. Who made Babe? The Americans made Babe.
Yeah, it's an American movie, but set in England, yeah.
Do you know how much the Tamworth II were worth?
What, once all this was over?
A skip. Well, when it started, it would be worth a lot more at the end.
40 to 50 quid.
Yeah, you'd be looking at the Wikipedia page there. Come on, Sam, we're not all psychic.
But mind you, 40 to 50 quid seems very cheap. I mean, I know we're going back to 1998, but they
25
were...
25 years
were,
ago, yeah.
They're pretty big pigs. I mean, you know, there's a lot of meat on those pigs. I'm sure you could make a pretty penny, as Carlton Cole might say, out of pigs like that.
Because a butcher would have to make a profit on that, wouldn't he? A butcher would be looking to make at least 30 quid on top, I would have thought.
Talking of Carlton Cole... you know, we like to just sometimes keep up with some of the brilliant things Carlton Cole says on BT Sport.
We do, yeah.
And by the way, now that Jake Humphrey stood down, I nominate Carlton to take over as their lead host. Right,
yes, please.
Because he brings chaos, and that's what we like, don't we, all football fans?
What you missed, with you being in Prague, you missed the beginning of the coverage last Wednesday night, whenever it was, when BT Sport presenter announced Carlton and Joe as the Cole brothers.
Well,
clearly not brothers.
I had people messaging me about certain things that Carlton was saying, so when I checked my Twitter as I was approaching the stadium, there was people kindly filling me in on what, because Carlton was extremely excited. The thing is, he works for the club. I'm not quite sure what his role is, but he kind of works in an almost full-time capacity for the club, so it's quite funny because he actually is mates with all the players, so his excitement levels are like super fucking high, and he wants to run off and get involved in the celebrations and not stand on camera. But anyway, they would fill in time like you sometimes have to, and apparently the presenter said, well, it's a warm night, Carlton, but they do say there's a possibility of a storm that could break during the game. And Carlton apparently said, well, that would probably play in West Ham's favour, because I doubt they're used to that sort of weather in Italy. No, I doubt they get that.
Yes, I saw that.
Didn't he say, I doubt they get that sort of thing in Italy?
Yeah, I said, we saw it. I went, what? What's he just said? They don't have thunderstorms in Italy.
Go on, Carlton. Carlton should be given a fucking...
bastard.
Carlton should be given his own game show. What he's got is he's got a real joie de vivre. Do you know what I mean? He's always excited. Yeah. He's always up for a laugh. And he doesn't know what he's going to say next, which is something I find appealing in a broadcaster.
Even as he's saying it, or sometimes afterwards.
Sometimes you can see it in his eyes. He's thinking, well, where did that come from? Good. All right, fine. Let's see where it takes us.
Thanks, Brian. got me out of a mess again.
Yeah, good old brain. Good old brain and mouth. My two best friends.
Never let me down when I'm being paid to talk about stuff.
Yeah. Fucking legend.
I've just scrolled down a little bit, and the owner of the pigs was Arnaldo Di Giulio.
Ooh.
Who was a council road sweeper by trade.
But he owned a couple of pigs on the side.
He must have had some kind
very
of side hustle. Yeah, a side hustle of raising pigs. Must have had a bit of land out the back.
Yeah,
back of his house. And he stated that he still intended to send them to slaughter should they be recaptured. Well, you know, he wants his money, doesn't he?
If they get caught...
He wants his 100 quid.
If they get caught, they're still going to die.
They'll go for the chop.
Yeah. Chop, chop. I'll make some chops, some bacon, some salami. Very nice. 40 to 50 pounds, no problem. I'll make healthy markup.
But after making that statement, he was offered large sums of money by media outlets and animal lovers to save the pigs from the dinner table. Now then, who's going to prevail, media outlets or animal lovers, in buying the pigs? It's the Daily Mail.
Do you remember, reminds me of, do you remember when like they have silly season on the Popers in the in August, right?
Yeah.
We did the top 100 all-time moments of Britain, didn't we?
We did,
and
on Christmas.
Obviously, Maradona's handball came top. But did we do that front page of The Sun where they discovered on some Spanish beach that some unscrupulous Spaniards were making a donkey fly? Do you remember that?
No, we didn't.
But do you remember the story?
I feel as though we should do another 50.
So, someone had been,
top 50 greatest
someone
moments.
Had been on holiday, right? So some John Pigface had been on his holidays. Go to Spain, didn't I? Get some egg and chips down me. Thing about Spain
Benidorm.
Is good. Most of them speak English, and the ones who don't, you can just shout at them until they comply. Right? So he's there having his egg and chips in Benidorm, and there's some this and that's down on the beach, and they're, I don't know how they're monetizing it, but it's like, come and see the flying donkey. And it's they're paragliding, but with a donkey. God. So you know when they pull a parachute along behind a speedboat and you take off and get pulled along in the sky behind it? They were doing that with a donkey. And so John Pigface, after he'd stopped laughing, he'd gone, actually, although that is quite funny, I think we can turn it into a bit of lovely xenophobia for the folks back home. Yeah. It is silly season after all. So they did a... They did a big splash on these evil Spaniards who were making a donkey fly for people's entertainment, right? Then, the next day, there's a front page, you can look this up, and it goes, the Sun gets Harry Redknapp to buy the donkey.
I remember the donkey, and they were going to bring it home, weren't they?
Yeah. I can't remember the exact... let's have a quick look. Donkey Spain... Harry Redknapp.
It wasn't called Don Quixote, was it?
Could have been, actually, yeah.
That's too subtle.
How kind-hearted Harry Redknapp tried to save an abused donkey. They referred to him as a football mogul. I just want an image of it. I want to see the actual original image. Yeah, Drop the Red Donkey was the original story. Right. Where John Pigface had seen it. And I shouldn't laugh. There's this gigantic parachute and hanging from it is a donkey that looks really sad. It's so... you would do, wouldn't you? The donkey's thinking, what the fuck's going on here? What am I doing up here? Donkeys ain't meant to fly.
Sorry, but that's nature.
Sorry, but that's nature. And then the follow-up page says... Well, the headline, I found the front page I'm talking about. It says, Redknapp signs Russian donkey, right?
Oh,
and
Russian.
They've called up Harry Redknapp for want of a fucking, you know, of a story. They've called up Harry Redknapp and they've gone, Harry, have you heard about this donkey that they're making fly?
No.
And he's gone, no. I had him down at Portsmouth. He was good as gold. Never gave me a moment's trouble. Right? No, stop, Harry, stop, listen.
What's in it for me?
Go on.
Cut to the chase.
Yeah? Well, we're wondering, someone needs to save it, and who better than you, Harry Redknapp? Right, okay, what's my cut?
$3,000.
Yeah, $3,000 and I'll save the donkey. Right, so it says Redknapp signs Russian donkey, and then there's a follow-up story as well, where you can see... And it goes, Redknapp Animal Rescue. That's what it says at the top of the page. And it's got a picture of this donkey, which by this stage the Sun have got and covered in like some sort of Sun-branded towel that they've sellotaped to the poor cunt, right, to this donkey. And the donkey is saying, you know when they do little speech bubbles out of animals' mouths? They like doing that, don't they?
Yeah.
The donkey is saying, the donkey is saying, I hate Arsenal, right? Pathetic, pathetic, irrelevant joke, right? But fine.
And
across the top of the page it says Redknapp Animal Rescue, and then the main headline says, "I am sickened by the scumbag who treated donkey so badly. I'll let her live in comfort," says Redknapp.
Wonderful, wonderful stuff.
Do we know what happened subsequently to the donkey?
I reckon the Sun got it back and then had it slaughtered, and they all and all the John Pig faces ate it for their Christmas lunch with all the trimmings, just like what they have in Broadmoor.
Wouldn't it be something if it had ended up in the donkey sanctuary garden owned by Keir Starmer's mum? Imagine that. She had a donkey sanctuary.
I forgot she had a donkey sanctuary. Come election time, I reckon that could be a crucial vote winner.
Oh, the wheel of donkeys out,
I mean, you got Rishi Sunak's mum. You know what she is, don't you? You know what she does?
What's that?
She's a fucking pharmacist. Family of pharmacists, aren't they?
Oh!
Yeah.
What, over the counter or like in a laboratory, like proto?
Over the counter pharmacist.
Oh, no, I didn't mean proto one. I meant like, you know, like research scientist.
Oh, careful.
Shit.
When they came over, they started up a fucking pharmacy, didn't they? And then that's how they got money to send him to like posh school, and then he became right. posh. I think they were already fucking pretty hell. Posh. But so, you know, when it comes to the Battle of the Mums, which always influences votes, you got one who runs a donkey sanctuary and the other one's a pharmacist. Now, obviously, I'm bound by certain laws and restrictions to not pass comment on pharmacists. But what I would say is, in a straight popularity contest between people who run donkey sanctuaries and pharmacists, there's only going to be one fucking winner.
Yeah, and I mean, Starmer's mum's dead, so she's still going to beat still, the beat
that,
the
well, that's even more of a vote winner. Poor old Mrs. Starmer, R.I.P.
Yeah.
Vote for fucking Keir Starmer. He's an orphan. You don't want to see him cry.
It's an awful with a garden full of donkeys. Doesn't know what to do with them.
Yeah. In fact, there's him. Look at this. I've got a garden load of fucking donkeys. And if we win, I'm moving them all to Chequers. And that is a fucking promise. Vote Keir Starmer on May the 5th. My old dear used to look after these donkeys. And now she's brown bread. So, if the Tories win, I will have no other option but to send them to the fucking glue factory. So if you don't want that to happen, vote Labour on May the 5th and let them move into the comfort of fucking Chequers. When the last fat cunt was throwing illegal parties, I will be saving donkey lives.
Better still, I'll put them in Downing Street. I'll put a load of straw down on the ground and let them clip-clop up and down like that time on EastEnders when they all went to Ireland that time.
Is that the sort of Britain you want? Because that's the sort of Britain you're going to fucking get.
I don't think there's any footage of that still exists. Do you remember that? When they went, Pauline Fowler or something went to Ireland to visit some relatives.
And they made out that there was just... the street. What, was it a bit racist against Ireland?
Yeah, it was like what's it called? Banshees of Inisherin. Yeah. It was like the 1920s.
Hey, what you got hanging about there in your front room? What is it? Some sort of dog? No. No, Auntie Pauline. That's the family donkey, so it is.
Fucking unbelievable.
Silly racist EastEnders.
In Ireland. I mean, that feels like a separate deep dive. I'll put that on the list.
Saw a great tweet earlier from on Twitter. Do you set a Sunderland filter just for Sunderland news?
No.
I've got a West Ham filter. So right. I just have West Ham news. The main bit of Twitter that I look at and sort of read is set to my West Ham filter. And obviously there's been some great content on there over the last week. But things are now settling back from the euphoria of Wednesday night and winning the European Cup to just what I call just like basic. We're almost going back to basic Cockney tweets.
Standard and Hammer stuff.
This to me is like a peak West Ham / Cockney tweet. It's a poll. Someone with two crossed hammers in their bio has simply written, what's worse? What's worse? And here are the options underneath, Andy. You ready?
Okay.
A cheat, a grass, a liar, last option, a two-faced cunt.
it's got to be a grass, hasn't it?
It's got to be a grass. I've shared this amongst my West Ham pals on WhatsApp, many of whom aren't on the Twitter. But I sometimes like to keep them informed on what they're missing out on if there's a really good tweet. And there's been quite a rich debate about it. And I think most people agree it's a grass, but a cheat. I was like... Mm. A cheat, if it just means a cheat as in a romantic cheat, well, that's not a good thing to be. I think we can all agree. But if they mean cheat in a broader sense, I'm thinking, you know, the sort of cunt who cheats at board games, like in Monopoly. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Or I've had a cunt cheat me at Trivial Pursuit and I've never fucking forgiven him ever. And it happened about 23 years ago.
Okay.
Right. I don't like people cheating at games. Right. And so I'd say, okay, liar, two-faced cunt, keep them aside. I mean, you know, everyone lies a little bit. And a two-faced cunt is a subjective thing, isn't it? But a cheat and a grass, that's a close-run thing. I mean, of course, ultimately you have to say grass because there is nothing worse.
Have you got the results there in front of you then? Or should we do it on our own poll feed?
Yeah.
And ask the cunters what they think.
Yeah, let's see what they think. Okay. I'll publish that later.
We'll see how different the results are to the actual
to the Cockney results. Well,
and we could compare our listeners to the West Ham.
The West Ham one, it's 100% like it'll be grass all day long. There's 100%. Nothing worse than a grass. There was a huge chat on the way to Prague about grasses. It often goes that way. Someone brings up an incident of grassing, and then everyone spends an hour sitting around talking about how out of order that grassing was. And what they would do if they got their hands on that grass.
Right, yeah.
It passes the time, Andy.
Mm. Well, speaking of time, we've just about run out because we haven't got enough time to finish off this Tamworth two-teal. But we'll finish this bit next time and probably get sidetracked again. And the investigation into the doings of pigs will continue until we've run out, till there's no more pig information to look at.
There's loads more
Simple
to come.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thanks very much for listening and
oink oink.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.